Father, in the name of Jesus, we come just as we are. Come this morning just as you are, without one plea, just come. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you, Lord, because your arms are spread out on that cross, ready to embrace us. Wrap those arms, O Lord, around us. Let us feel the presence of the Lord on here this morning. Your presence, Lord, let it be heaven, even to us in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, this morning. The entrance of your word gives light. It brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Shine the light in our hearts this morning, Lord. Take away every element of darkness, for God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Help us to be united with you in that light, even on here this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning and good afternoon, and praise the Lord. Well, this is the preparation day. This is the day before our convocation week starts. So this is preparation, you know, and you may never have experienced what you are going to experience here today before, but we will experience it together today. You know, I'm going to speak on what we will be doing over the next week, starting tomorrow, but actually it starts today in the prep, you know, but, you know, our convocation week starts tomorrow, June 24th, through the rest of the week. And on the last day, by the grace of God, we're going to do a special crossover service, crossover to the second half of the year. And I believe the Lord has put some words in my heart to share with you, and that we look forward to something that the Lord is going to do. The times of refreshing are coming for the elect of God. It's coming for you, and it's coming for me. And this time around, the next week, we want to just seek the Lord. You know, seek the Lord, he says. You know, we want to seek the Lord. We want to break up our fallow grounds. We want to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon us. Praise the Lord. We're not, you know, this week is not about us asking him to do this and to do the other thing in the material world and the physical world. That's all part of, you know, the package that we'll get from him. Jesus said in the book of Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that you need. Your heavenly Father, he said, knows you have need of it. He's not discounting them, that we don't need them, but he's saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, what is the convocation all about? Well, it's a gathering of the people, as it is written in Joel chapter 1. So we're starting the lesson now. I'm going to bring a background, and then we're going to do some things on here this morning. In the book of Joel, chapters 1 and 2, there is a call, you know, to sanctification. And that's setting apart. It's a call to making ourselves holy before him. That's a call to gathering ourselves together. And so let's consider these scriptures. I posted some of them in the chat room already. Let's consider the scriptures. Sanctify ye a fast. Joel 1 and 14. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. See, there is nothing like doing this in person. You know, I know some people don't, you know, like to, you know, go to, quote unquote, the house of the Lord again anymore since COVID. They just do online stuff. But there is nothing like when you do this in person. But we're going to try to make the best of it since we are not an actual physical congregation. We are an online community. And as long as we gather together in oneness, the Lord will still be in our midst. So we're going to simulate this. That's right. Sanctifying a fast. Calling a solemn assembly. But the good thing is, we do this every day anyway. We gather together every day. But you want to make this a special time and prepare our hearts. And as we go into this time, you're going to have to, you know, make certain decisions, make certain commitments. We're going to do that together today. What and how you want to seek the Lord. What kind of fast you want to do. You know, and what you want to do, and so on and so forth. Now, fasting is a major part of, you know, consecration. Consecration is a major part of our convocation week. You know, so, and it also means we set ourselves apart, you know, and so forth. You know, I'll talk more about that in a bit. You know, again, it says in Joel chapter 2, and verse 15 in the next chapter, again, he calls for, remember this Joel is the one that prophesied a lot of things. He's the one that prophesied the, what Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, the outpouring, you know, and he's the one that prophesied the Joel's army that's coming, how powerful they will be. Climb through windows, nothing can stop them, march on their own ways, they don't break their ranks. I mean, this is a group, you know, like none other. He prophesied they are coming, you know, and he prophesied the outpouring, you know, but he also called for certain things. You know, this is how you're going to do it, he said. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Blow the trumpet in Zion, he said in Joel 2 and 15. Sanctify fast and call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders. Gather the children, even those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. You see, now that's a blessing when you are in the house of the Lord. You can do that. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. And give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? You know, so we're going to be praying. We're going to be seeking the Lord. We want God to come upon us in a special way. As we set ourselves apart, may he also choose us. It's a blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Hallelujah. And causes, you know, to approach unto you. God is the one that does the choosing. He's the one that puts it in our heart to even want to do it. You know, so, you know, yeah, we want to do it, but even the desire to want to do it comes from him. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Well, let's call it this way. Since we are not physically gathered together in a building, this is the house. Even Clubhouse calls this a house. You know, so we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy presence. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, as we prepare, you know, there are certain things that the Lord commanded the children of Israel in the past, the feasts of the Lord, not exactly the feasts of the Jews, but the feasts of the Lord. And they had to make certain preparations. Some preparations, you know, even, you know, the day before certain feasts, the day before, you know, the Shabbat or the Sabbath, and the day before this and that, and the day before Passover, I had to make some preparations. Well, we're going to make preparation today in our hearts as we think of putting ourselves through this time of convocation and consecration. Well, we've been talking about it, announcing for about a couple of weeks, trying to get people to make sure that you are available, schedule your time, that you can participate, and so on and so forth. You know, so well, let's talk about, you know, some of the things that were the reasons why we need to do this. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 tells us that, look, we must break up our fallow grounds, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. We remember we just finished the series on the three seasons, the dew, the dew, and the dew. You know, so well, there's a time to sow and a time to reap. Well, this time around, we're commanded and instructed in the scripture to sow to ourselves in righteousness, and we will reap in mercy. We're commanded to break up our fallow ground. Breaking up your fallow ground, you know, that's what farmers do before the planting season. You can't just plant on the ground that's dead and been parched ground for a long while. You got to go break it up, you know, plow through that stuff first, break it up, you know, and prepare the ground before you even sow anything. Clear the weeds, do all kinds of things and so forth. And sometimes they put, you know, they put manure, they put fertilizers, they put all kinds of things. You know, prepare the ground for the planting. Hallelujah. So that when the seed falls on it, it will be well nourished. Well, let's prepare our hearts. It is time, the prophet said, to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hallelujah. So that's a, you know, that's a commandment. And that's part of what we will be doing, you know, at this time. This same Hosea says in chapter 6, the first couple of verses, he says, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he has turned and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, will he revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. Well, I think prophetically, you know, since the time of the resurrection of Christ and the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost, prophetically, we've had, you know, a couple of 2,000 years. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Well, we're coming up upon that third day that we're going to live in his sight. Well, after 2 days, well, God's going to do something. Well, at the end of the prophetic 2 days, if you consider a day as 1,000 years since all that time, and now it is time to enter into his presence. Praise the Lord. It is time to also be clothed upon with our heavenly house. Praise the Lord. For the which we groan, waiting, the Bible says, to be clothed upon. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, we need to talk about. But we'll see how much the Lord allows us to get into. But right now, we're going to focus on preparing our hearts, you know, for this. Ask ye of the Lord, Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. Rain in the time of the latter rain. And what will the Lord do? Well, he said the Lord will make bright clouds and give rain to everyone grass, showers of blessings and rain. We're talking about spiritual things here. You get your mind off of the material things, you know, for now. We're talking about spiritual things, seeking the Lord, his righteousness, the kingdom, and seeking those things that bring us closer to the Lord. It is the time of the latter rain indeed. And the Lord is ready to make bright clouds and to give us showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. We have to position ourselves in a place ready to ask. Well, there's a time of refreshing that God has promised. It is here. And we need to enter in and press toward it. You know, there are some things that even Jesus was speaking about. He said, look, you know, and they brought the lunatic child. They couldn't cast him out. The disciples couldn't. They said, well, why couldn't we do it? Jesus said, well, because of your unbelief. But then again, he said, well, nevertheless, there are some kinds that cannot go out except by prayer and fasting. You know, so let's read Matthew 17 and verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? You know? And Jesus said, well, because of your unbelief. For I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, and he looks at the mountain across there, remove hence to yonder place, and he shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, for this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So we see the prescription that Jesus gives here. Praise the Lord. And you know, one time also, and it's just a quick background for us, the Pharisees and everybody else, you know, accusing Jesus that his disciples are not fasting like the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 18, disciples of John, you know, and the disciples of Pharisees used to fast often. So they come to him and say, why do the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, well, you know, I love the way that Jesus used to answer questions in those days. Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? And then they don't fast in those days because, you know, it's a time of joy. He said, look, as long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. So Jesus was defending them for not fasting. But now, if you stop there, then you walk away and say that Jesus said we don't fast. No, no. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, well, which he has been taken away from us already. And then shall they fast in those days. Praise God. So we see that Jesus commanded it. But we have to do it right. So, you know, how do we do it right? Well, let's read a few things. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, the Lord talks about, you know, a fast that will go nowhere. And also a fast that, you know, it's pleasing to the Lord. You know, there are several things that he talked about in that chapter of Isaiah 58. First, the fast that he does not accept. He said, where we have fasted, the people say, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? Isaiah 58 and verse 3. And thou takest no knowledge. Well, people say, well, we fast, but the Lord didn't do anything. That's what these people are saying. And so the Lord is going to answer them back and say, well, if you can deny yourself of pleasure, it will help when you are fasting. You know, you also exert all your labors. Well, this one's a hard one because, you know, we don't always have the luxury of going into the wilderness or separating ourselves when we fast. You know, sometimes we got to continue, you know, to do our normal routines. And Jesus talked about that too. Jesus recognized that. And we'll read it in a bit, you know, because he talked about what we need to do, you know, and how we do it. He said, look, you fast for strife, for debate, to strike with his fist of wickedness and so forth. Well, when you fast like this, your voice will not be heard on high, he said. Is this such a fast that I have chosen? You know, just you afflict your soul. You put your head down a borage, you put sackcloth and ashes under you and so forth. Will you call this a fast and acceptable day unto the Lord? So nobody is putting any ashes on their head during this fast. Nobody is renting their garments during this fast. We got to rent our hearts rather and so on. It's not the fast that I have chosen. So we're going to find out that the Lord wants us to do certain things. There are physical interpretations of these things that I'm about to read, but there are also spiritual interpretations. Loose the bands of wickedness, he said, and undo the heavy burdens. You know, so, you know, all the things that we do to one another and so forth, you know, people, you know, oppressing one another, say, let your oppressed go free and break every yoke. Give your bread to the hungry and so forth. Bring the poor to your house and all these things. You know, see them as naked, cover them. You know, and so forth. But let's look at the spiritual implication too, which you've heard me preach. You know, the four horns, you know, that batter down the people of God. Bands of wickedness, heavy burdens, oppression and oppressing spirits. And numerous kinds of evil yokes. We've covered that several times and at length on this platform. You know, so fasting helps to break those things. And here are some promises when you do it right, he said. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Ha! Glory to God. Isaiah 58 and verse 8. And thy health shall spring forth speedily. Would you know it? Can you believe it? That when you do fasting the right way, it can even cause your health to spring forth speedily. You know, and people know it too, even science. There's some kind of fasting that can actually help you. Even just physical, natural fasting that has no spiritual connotation at all can even help your health. But more so when we do this one, this is spiritual consecration, spiritual fast, you know, that we do here. There's a blessing even in the natural. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, everything we do in the spirit realm, you know, has some bearings on the natural realm. Even as God said to Job in Job 38 and 33, he said, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set their dominion upon the earth? Well, you know, so that scripture is telling us that there are certain things that happen in the spirit realm that have bearing upon the natural realm. Well, if you do this spiritual fasting properly, it'll even break, cause your health to break forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord. You know, so we can even get into some glory, you know, that's manifested glory of God. be your rare reward, cover you and all around you, and so on. Then shall thou call, and the Lord will answer you if you're fasting right. You will call and he will say, here I am. Here are some of the things you must do. Take away from the midst of you yoke, the putting forth the finger, speaking vanity, and all these things. Don't do it. You know, this is the time to release those, you know, that we have offense against. Release them. You will cover that the last few weeks. All of these leading up, all these lessons are leading up to this consecration. When you do these things, your light will rise in obscurity. And even your darkness will be as a noonday. Consider if your darkness is as a noonday, then what would your light be like? Praise the Lord. The Lord shall guide thee continually. He will satisfy thy soul even in drought, you know, and make thy bones fat. And you'll be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Remember, you know, the man that's connected to the source, according to Psalms 1, he said, well, shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water, whose leaves fail not, and they're not withered, you know, and so forth. And bring forth his fruit in his season, because he's never out of season, since he's connected directly to the source. Hallelujah. And they that shall be of you, ha, build the old waste places, you know, even generations after you. And you will raise up the foundations of many generations. You do it right, you know, there is a platform that you're building for your children and their children. Hallelujah. You know, when you seek the Lord, God will begin to set things in order, give you understanding of how to even raise the next generations. You will be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwelling. I love that. A lot of things through your fasting can bring restoration, he said. Praise the Lord. You know, so, well, let's see how Jesus said to do it. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was talking about a number of things and trying to correct some things. Prayer, fasting, giving of alms, you know, were some of the things he talked about. You know, the right way to pray, the wrong way to pray, the right way to fast, the wrong way to fast, the right way to do alms, and the wrong way to do it. And all of the wrong ways that Jesus pointed out in that chapter was about being hypocritical. In other words, just doing it so that we may be seen of men. I mean, if you pray, you stand up, make long prayers, people know, so that people can know that you know how to pray. And stand everywhere that you can be seen when you're doing that. Jesus said, well, they have their reward. You know, there's reward for everything. But you can't get the reward, you know, two different ways. You either get your reward from men that, you know, say you are doing great, if that was what was in your heart. Or you get your reward from the Lord. You know, but if we do it in order to be seen of men, Jesus said, well, you have your reward. So he talked about prayer like that. He also talked about fasting. You know, let me read the fasting part, since this is the part that we really want to do. Prayer also is the same way. You know, when we pray during this time, we pray not to be seen. Because prayer and fasting is, they are both an integral part of consecration. You know. And this is consecration 101 that we are talking about today. You know, the elements that are in there. When you pray, don't use vain repetition. During this time around, let's not use vain repetition, because people think that they will be heard for their much speaking. Jesus called these things out. You know, just you're vain. Now, he's not talking about repeating or being persistent in prayer, because we see that he taught that in other places. In Luke chapter 18, he taught us that. What he's talking about here is the vain part of it. In other words, it's not really there, but we're just saying it now to make the prayer longer. You know, I mean, you could pray it in one or two sentences, but you say it, you take 10 minutes to say the same thing because you think that by saying it much longer, you'll be heard. Jesus said, look, they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And you know, sometimes even when we pray, now you say, did he say these things? Well, absolutely. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Well, some people even think that we shall be heard, you know, for yelling and screaming. God is not deaf. I know our emotions get in the way sometimes when we're praying and we scream, we yell, and we jump up and down and so forth. Look, you can pray as simply as I'm talking right now. We're just talking to God. You can pray just like this. Or you can scream and yell and screech and all that. Okay. But you're not heard for the yelling or the screaming, you know. I mean, sometimes when people pray, all of a sudden our voice changes, our intonation changes. We're screaming, we're yelling, we're doing all of these things. We're talking to God. God is not deaf. You just talk to him. I hear you already. You know, you can talk to him just as quietly as I'm talking to you now. But I know sometimes emotions and so forth rise, you know, but, you know, people think that they shall be heard for their much speaking or their yelling or their screaming or screeching or changing your voice, you know, just using vain repetitions. You know, those things, you know, that's just fluff. That's not the real prayer. You know, that's just fluff. Well, you know, when you pray, Jesus said, he taught us how to pray. Give us a template so that you don't just ramble and ramble and ramble. And then he talked about fast. He said, when you fast, in verse 16 of Matthew 6. He didn't say if, he said when. So these things are you must do. Be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Well, you know, now this is a convocation, so everybody knows that we are fasting, so that's different. But the people on your job don't know it. And the people that don't know it, don't know it. Now, if you go on your job and then you have to make a long face and everything, and then they say, well, you know, why are you your long face? Well, I'm fasting. Or, you know, I mean, or you just do it so that people can know that you're fasting. Well, you've already lost the real spiritual reward because, you know, people say, oh, they really fast. Or you come in and you are doing somehow as if you are going to fall over just because you are fasting. So everybody knows that you are fasting. You've been fasting long. All those kind of things. Those are hypocritical behavior, Jesus said. It's about you. When you fast, anoint thy head. So we're going to anoint our heads here this morning. Hallelujah. And remember, I told you, bring your olive oil, anointing oil. I'm going to anoint your head. You know, what Jesus is talking about here is not exactly what we're about to do today, but I'm pulling something out of here because the application of the word of God is so powerful. You know, normally what he means here is, you know, just wash your face, you know, look good and everything. Don't wear a long face. Don't let people even know. Well, but I'm tapping into this scripture here to say, look, we're going to bring an anointing here because we're going to do something. It's like a covenant, you know, of the blessing that we are entering into, you know, and what we're going to do. I'll tell you more about that in a second. Let me finish this or in a minute. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. Thy Father, which is in secret, will reward you openly. So, there's an anointing also in preparation for consecration. The part that I want, the way I want us to approach this today is actually found in a very small, tucked away psalm, you know, that the psalmist talked about. But it's kind of small, it's obscure, you know. People refer to it once in a while, but we don't often talk about it too much. But here it is, you know. It says, in Psalm 133. Here it is. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So unity is always good. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. You know, so now, this anointing that we have here today, and if you don't have your olive oil, get it. We're going to do it in a minute. You know, when we put it on our heads, by symbolizing something here. He said, look, this anointing is upon your head. It's like the one that ran down upon the head of Aaron. You know, the way they used to anoint people back in the day, not the way we do it now. They used to actually pour the oil, not just this little thing that we just put in the hand and slap it on the forehead like we do today. They pour the oil. You know, so it ran down the beard of Aaron, even to the skirts of his garment. They didn't care whether the garment was ruined. They poured the oil, you know, and it was like the dew. Remember, as the dew of Hammon. Well, I say, well, it's going to be like the dew of heaven. We've been talking about the dew, D-E-W. So this is one way to invoke that dew, pour that anointing. But we do it in unity, you know. I said, they dwell together in unity. That means agreement. You know, that's really what it is. You know, we do it together in agreement. You know, everybody, it's a covenant we're entering into to be in agreement to make this convocation. Now, if you are in disagreement, don't join because that would be like a can in the mist and it can scatter a lot of things. So we want everybody to be in agreement. That's what convocation is. Call a solemn assembly. Bring everybody together. Everybody. Same mouth. Speaking one thing. Same thing. Thinking one thing. You know, we come in. We're in agreement. It's powerful. Now, when we come in agreement and you put the oil upon your head, it's like a covenant. The oil of gladness. You know, we're also not going to be sad during this time. This is not a sad convocation. This is a convocation of joy. The oil of gladness is coming upon our head. But it's like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. So we can invoke the dew of heaven. Remember, your D-O season and your D-E-W season. Now, we're anointing you now for, you can anoint yourself for it too, to enter into your D-E-W season. And he said, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. This is the best part of this verse, of this song. You know, when there is the unity, when the people are doing it together, he said, that's where the Lord command the blessing. Even life forevermore. Well, my goodness, we can take a whole hour to preach on that, but let me just put it there and say, this is where, this is the trigger to the blessing. This anointing that we're going to do in a minute. It looks, might look silly, but hey, it is what it is. You know, so just believe the Lord and do it. In fact, Jehoshaphat one time, you know, when he heard the word of the Lord, he said to the people, he said, look, the way for you to be established and the way for you to be blessed. So it's in two ways. Believe the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Well, he didn't stop there, though. He said, well, believe the Lord your God for you to be established. Believe also, he said, his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. So you can find that scripture in 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. There are two things that you must do. Well, believe the Lord your God, you will be established. You know, but, you know, you go forward, believe also his prophets. Well, who's the prophet here? Well, he's talking about when the word of the Lord is declared to you, you believe it. And that's what makes you prosper. So for those of you coming to this room, somebody's mic is on. Those of you who come to this room daily, you know, it is because you are believing the Lord and you're also believing and trusting the word that is being released on this platform. But I want you to take one step further. When you do this, you know, remember, you got to follow instruction. Each time, you know, that the prophet said to them, do this, do this, do that. They had to do it the way he said it. You know, go and borrow some pots and lock yourself in the room and pour out. You know, they had to do it like he said. Can't just do it some other way. Even when Jesus said to Peter, go and get, you know, go to the fish, fish lake or lake, fishing lake and catch the first fish. Do this, do this, do this. You know, he had to do it exactly. When Jesus said to the disciples, you know, do this, do this, do this, set them in 50s and put this before them and so forth. You know, they had to do it exactly the way that the Lord said it in order for them to get the blessing. There are many examples in the scriptures for that. I don't want to dwell on that. You know, so when I give these instructions here today, yes, you follow them in unity, that's going to be a tremendous blessing because the Lord said that's where he commanded the blessing. There's something that God commands. You know, remember, the Bible says that the Lord spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stands fast. There is something that the Lord is going to command for you during this convocation. And it starts by a simple obedience. You know, it starts by a simple obedience. Now, what the Lord is commanding us to do today is simple. And I'm going to give it to you in a few minutes. One time he commanded, you know, the people said, look, you got to go around the city of Jericho 7 times. Don't do anything but go around and so forth. Then the 7th time you're going to do something, you're going to shout this way and so forth. And that's how you're going to get the victory. And the wall's going to come down. I mean, kind of wall that you're going to bring a wall down by just shouting. Well, you got to do it as prescribed. If they had done the shouting on the 3rd time around, it would not have worked. And if they had done it on the 5th time around, it would not have worked either. You know, so you have to do it as commanded. Praise the Lord. So there's something that the Lord is going to command for us today. And when he commands it, it will stand for you. It is called the blessing. I command it on you. Remember, in Psalm 33 and verse 9, he said, the Lord spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Now, in Psalm, you jump from this Psalm 33 verse 9, you jump to this Psalm 133, and you put the two scriptures together, you find out that the Lord, when he commands a blessing for you because you do this anointing, then you do it in unity, that blessing is going to stand. Hallelujah. Now, here's what we're going to do. First, you need to determine what kind of fasting you're going to do. Need to prepare your heart towards it because it starts tomorrow. You need to, you know, discover and determine within yourself, you know, the pleasure that you're going to cut off, you know. So that's something else. You deny ourselves, you know, when we're doing this. Then you need to determine that you are coming in agreement with your brethren. Now that's where the anointing comes in, because when they're in unity, and they say, well, that anointing that they pour on their head, that's where the Lord's commanding the blessing. So we are going to prepare ourselves for the convocation. One time there was a woman that came and poured the oil on the Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hairs. And the people looked at and said, are you kidding me? If this man were a prophet, he would have known that this woman was a sinner, was a harlot. She was a this and a that. And Jesus said, let her alone. She is preparing my body towards the thing that I'm about to suffer. And so sometimes the anointing and so forth is for preparation. You know, so we're doing this now to prepare ourselves for this convocation. Now, are you ready? You have your anointing oil. We're going to do it. And I'm going to pray. And there is no magic in the oil. There's nothing in it. It's just oil. However, we used it. They've used it in the scriptures. And we've seen that it was, you know, commanded to be used. He said, look, you know, when they anoint them in oil in the name of the Lord, you know, the people are sick in James chapter 5, he called for, you know, some prescription. Lay hands on them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and pray over them, and they shall be healed. And then the disciples also, they went everywhere anointing with oil many that were sick and cast out devils. So we know that it was used in the scriptures. I mean, it's not a thing to make any easing about, but you just follow the word of the Lord. Now, as we anoint ourselves in preparation for the convocation today, prepare your hearts as well. And let's take a minute, every one of us, to prepare our hearts before the Lord. And I will be praying a prayer of strength and grace. You know, you will experience something during this time that perhaps you've never experienced before. The Lord just give you the grace to do this. And you will wonder why it seemed so hard before. You know, because the Lord will just give you the grace. The angel of the Lord will come and strengthen you. You know, whatever it is you want to do, that's between you and the Lord. One day, 2 days, that's between you and the Lord. However he leads you to do it. But he will just give you the grace for it because of this anointing. Remember, you know, in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27, it talks about the anointing that breaks the yoke. You know, what is the yoke? Well, there is some yoke that the devil has put upon us, the yoke of fear. Some people are afraid of fasting. When they hear it, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm going to do that again. You know, I remember, you know, when we started our local church here in Phoenix some years ago, always calling for fasting every month, 3 days fast. And, you know, some people started saying this church is too hard. I was fasting all the time. I'm like, it's not really even 3 days, because the way we do it is only like just a little over 2 days, even though they call it 3 days. And it's like, oh, the church is too hard because you fast? Think again. You know, so some people are afraid of fasting. You know why? It is the flesh. Because the flesh doesn't like it. Well, that's what you should do when the things the flesh doesn't like. It's what you should do. You know, because the spirit and the flesh, they are always at loggerhead, one against the other. The spirit lusted against the flesh. The flesh lusted against the spirit. You know, they're fighting one against the other. But, you know, we can fuel the flesh by all these other pleasures and so on. Well, you can starve the flesh too and fuel the spirit by coming in the presence of the Lord. Give the spirit the upper hand. You know, so Isaiah 10 and 27 shall come to pass in that day that a burden of the Assyrian, that's right, will be breaking. I mean, broken off of your neck. You know, the burden of Egypt, burden of the Assyrian, burden of the devil, the burden and the burden of fear that makes people be afraid, you know, of spending time, cutting off, you know, some excesses. Well, fear. Well, I can't do it. You know, and some people say, when I fast, I get sick, you know, this and that and so forth. So all those things just bring fear. Well, the anointing will break the yoke. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So, we're going to pray. I want you to take your oil of anointing. It's called the anointing oil. And you're going to use it to anoint your head. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup is going to run over. We're going to anoint our own heads with oil here today. And this is like an oath, a pact that we are entering into, that we are coming into agreement to do this. So, as you do this, here's what you are committing to. You're committing to this convocation week. I'm not asking anybody to fast for 7 days. Far from it. But, you know, be here for the 7 days. Let's be in unity. Let's be in prayer. Are you going to fast for 1 day? Or are you going to fast for two? Whatever. Are you going to do a, what they call partial or full or daily or this? Whatever. That's you. But be in the spirit of agreement during this time. And let's come together daily to praise the Lord. One element that's going to be, I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. And as we go through those days, going to be a powerful praise that we're going to offer the Lord through this time. You know, so, but today it's for us, you know, entering into the agreement. Let me give you some examples of how this kind of call for prayer did tremendous things, you know, in the scriptures. There are many, many examples. Esther and the Jews. In Esther chapter 4, verse 13, she called for a time of prayer. Let prayer be for me as I go before the king to obtain favor and so forth. Esther chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. I'm not going to read it. I'm just giving you the reference. You know, and of course, because of the prayers of the people, you know, 3 days, she said, everybody fast for me, you know, and don't eat, don't do this, don't do that. You know, well, they obeyed her, even her uncle did, you know, and she called for that. And when they did, you know, God brought a tremendous favor for them, you know. So here's what she said. I'll just read one small part of it. Gather all the Jews together that are present in Shushan. Esther chapter 4, verse 15. And fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink. Well, that one was an amazing kind of fast. It's a total fasting. Well, you should drink water when you fast. It's cleansing. Don't starve yourself of water. Drink water. But neither drink nor fast, they said. I mean, drink or eat and so forth. 3 days, three nights and so forth. Night or day. And I and my maidens will fast likewise. And then I will go unto the king. And, you know, which is not according to the law. I can't just appear before the king if he didn't call me. And if I perish, I perish. But, you know, I'm all in. And they were all in. Well, that's a kind of fasting. And we know what happened. She actually got the favor that she was looking for. Another kind of fasting was in the book of Jonah, chapter 3. We read and we talked about the story of Jonah last week. you know, the people of Nineveh. And when they eventually heard the message of Jonah, the king called for a consecrated fast. You know, the king called everybody. He said, you know, in fact, in his own case, even added animals and everything. You know, he said, look, everybody fast and pray. Call upon the name of the Lord. You know, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5. And put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least. For the word came from the king. He arose from his house, laid away his robe, covered himself and so forth. And he proclaimed it throughout, published it by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast. I mean, this man, he actually, I mean, he laid it out there. Let not man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor even drink water. Oh, man, that's severe. Well, you should drink water. Okay. And he said, well, let them be covered with sackcloth. Don't cover your head with sackcloth. Just rend your heart before the Lord. You know, and then he said, look, let them turn their violence from their hands and so forth. And, you know, I mean, look at how he called. And God heard and turned the evil and delivered them. So that's how you do it. You know, I mean, so many places in the book of Nehemiah, you know, we see that they did it. I called, you know, they consecrated themselves in fasting, you know, and in prayer. And the Lord heard and answered it and gave it to them. You know, they separated themselves from strangers, confessed their sins and so forth. You know, this is another type of consecrated fasting. Nehemiah chapter 9 verses 1 to 3. They stood up in their place, read in the book of the Lord, 1/4 part of the day, you know, another 4th part of the night, confessed and they worshiped and they stood and they, you know, wow. Can you do that? Can you spend 1/4 part of the day in praising the Lord and praying and worshiping the Lord? Can you spend 1/4 part of the day in reading the scriptures? Well, these are different kinds of consecrated fasting that people have done in the past and how God has answered them. You know, and so on and so forth, you know. So these are just some examples, you know, but if you're doing any kind of fasting, we encourage you to drink water. Water has no food content, just ordinary water. Don't put anything in it. That doesn't break your fast, you know, but, you know, but it helps to cleanse, you know, our system. So we know that. But either way, how you do it, let's come together in agreement. So I'm going to pray over the anointing part of this lesson today. I'm calling it the anointing service. If we were gathered together in person, and we would do it a different way. But since we are virtually gathered, well, do it for yourself. You know, remember Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 2 says you can actually do it for yourself. It said, loose thyself from the bands around your neck, shake yourself from the dust. Well, you can actually anoint. Jesus said, anoint your head. So we're going to anoint our heads. Now, as I pray, and I'm going to call out the prayer right now, as we anoint your head, we're coming in unity of Psalm 133, and we're believing God that the blessing will flow. Praise God. You know, so let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're in obedience to the word of God. Wherein Jesus said, when you fast, anoint your head. We're going to take it literally speaking. I want everybody to raise your bottle up before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I consecrate this bottle of olive oil before the Lord. Nothing in it but my obedience. And as I put the oil on my head, now I want you to anoint your head with oil. That's right. Anoint your head with oil. Lord, as we put this oil upon our heads, because Jesus said, anoint your head. Now, Lord, in preparation for this consecration and the convocation week, let us receive strength from the Lord. I pray that the Lord of all grace will give grace to everyone that does this in unity. You will have strength. Even if God that gave you the desire to do it, according to Philippians 2 and 13, He's the one that put the desire in your heart anyway, and He will give you the grace to perform it. For you to do, to will and to do comes from the Lord. Now through the anointing, the Lord breaks every yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke of fear. The fear that, oh, I can't fast. When I fast, I will be sick. My stomach will be this. My diet will be that. We break that down in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God has not put upon us the spirit of bondage to fear. You know, the devil is the one that tells you that. And I command your body to yield. Hallelujah. Be in subjection. You are not going to faint. You are not going to collapse. You are not going to have cramps. You're not going to have sleepless nights. We rebuke all those things in the name of Jesus. The anointing will break the yoke. Now, as we anoint our head in the oil in the name of the Lord, we prepare ourselves for the convocation. Do it again. Anoint yourself again the second time. Because, you know, the Lord said, well, the journey is great. You anoint yourself the second time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, Lord, in simplicity, you know, we have done this thing. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27 that the anointing that you have received is no lie. Ha! Maroka tesheleri basundia. This anointing that you have received now is no lie. But the same anointing will be with you. It will teach you all things and it will break the yoke in the name of Jesus. Now, let that be in you. The anointing which you have received, let it be upon you. Praise the Lord. And you shall abide in that anointing. Now, Lord, we have done this in unity. We've made an oath before the Lord. Now, remember, don't promise anything before the Lord that you not do. The only thing that I want you to promise now is that you will be in agreement throughout this whole time. That's all. Don't promise I will do 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, and then you don't do it. I'm not asking you for that. Better for you not to vow than to vow and not to do it. You know, but make this one vow. This one is simple. I will be in agreement with my brethren throughout this time. We're coming together, you know, and in unity. For there, the Lord is going to command the blessing. And that is coming. Let me prophesy this right now. As we seek the Lord through this time, there is coming times of refreshing. Lord already told me. I already told it to one person. There is coming times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is coming. What that refreshing looks like, well, you'll find out as we go through this next week. But it is coming. Hallelujah. And it is coming from the presence of the Lord. There's an outpouring of refreshing time. That's coming. You know, there's been a lot of things lately. The enemy has been pushing at us lately, doing all kinds of havoc, almost like he's having a field day. You know, but every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled with blood. But this one, saith the Lord, shall be with burning fuel of fire and burning. The spirit of God come and consume the works. Our garments will not be rolled in blood. Oh, no. No. We're coming before the Lord. And the Lord will have mercy upon us. Anytime we rend our hearts before the Lord, will have mercy upon us. Even King Ahab, as wicked as he was, in 1 Kings chapter 21, when he rented his heart before the Lord and walked softly before the Lord pushed the judgment, kicked it down the road. Praise God. So, ladies and gentlemen, I bless you in the name of the Lord. You're anointed in the name of the Lord. We're anointed to serve the Lord. We're anointed to worship. We're anointed now for this convocation and consecration. Now, nobody ought to be afraid anymore. Go in the strength of the Lord. Now, here's what you say. You say, well, I will go in the strength of the Lord. Hallelujah. I will go in the strength of the Lord. You know, Elijah, he went in the strength of the meat 40 days. Well, you will go in the strength of the Lord, however many days. It could be a few hours. Some people, some beginners can only fast one day and so on. Well, whatever. You know, the Lord, you know, we're not, there's no competition here, and there is no, you know, there's no measurement of, you know, how many days you must do in order to do. It's how you are broken before the Lord. Brokenness, contrition is what the Lord is looking for. And if you can surrender all, how long, however long it takes for you to get into that place of full surrender, that's what you need to do. You know, do it and surrender yourself. Bring that broken vessel before the Lord and then put it together for his own use. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, even as we have done this now, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you, Lord, for this. And glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I want to make some announcements for you this week in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm still part of this prayer. As you go through this week, you know, here are some announcements. There shall not say I am sick in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's an announcement and a decree. You will not say that you are sick. Here's another one. Your health shall break forth speedily. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number three, he says, your righteousness will spring forth as the noonday. Isn't that wonderful? And many other blessings. So don't say I'm sick. The Lord is your strength. Your health will break forth speedily. You know, there may be all these hidden things inside your body. God is going to eradicate sickness and disease. Say, none shall say in the kingdom that I am sick. And the Lord will cause your righteousness to go forth before you. So those are announcements. Keep that in your heart as you go through. And the angel of the Lord will be with you. Number four. You know, he said, if you believe this message, the angel of the Lord will be with you until I return, said the Lord. He will be with you too. And he will keep you and he will guide you. And he will preserve your going out and coming in. None shall be involved in any accident. We're not going to hear it. We will hear no evil. We will see no evil. As we go through this time, in the name of the Lord Jesus, your ears are anointed to hear only the voice of the Spirit. But you must listen to the Lord. And spend time in prayer and listen to the Lord. You know, there will be no evil tidings. We reject evil tidings in Jesus' name. The Lord will bring good tidings of great joy. Times of refreshing, testimonies will break forth and abound in the name of the Lord Jesus. We'll have the victory. And then when we come to the end, we're going to do the crossover and we'll keep the victory. What we God give us, we're going to keep it. And we'll be on our spiritual guard. We're not going to let our guard down anytime during this convocation or even after. Because, you know, usually when the Lord does great things, the enemy come in, try to do something else. We're not going to do that. We're going to have our spiritual antennas up. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.